boots thumped down the marble foyer. My head poked out to find a hulking frame filling out jeans to their maximum capacity across tree trunk thighs and a sculpted derriere. He wore a black leather coat and a dark baseball cap covered thick onyx hair that fought for freedom and reached almost to his nape. He was absolutely massive. I let out a slow breath. This was not how grown women behaved. I should have just walked in the room and demanded that they include me in the conversation. And yet here I was, behind a door, creeping on a stranger with the racing heart and the urge to flee. I risked another peek. I half expected him to knock out chunks of drywall as he brushed through the front door, but when he reached the foyer, he stilled. His head shifted ever so slightly, like a predator sensing prey. In his profile, his eyebrows furrowed into a frown. Now that was an expression I knew well. His leather coat squeaked as he slowly turned all the way around. His gaze found mine in an instant. He looked directly at me. No, within me. I gasped and tucked myself back. It was only a glimpse, but it was enough to have my heart slamming against my chest and my face heaving with embarrassment. A black bandana with a white painted skull covered most of his face, except where two dark eyes peered out at me from under his cap. In just that glance, his gaze burned up the distance between us. My breath was sucked out of my chest. The Devil of the Symphony. Known simply as Devlin. One name to rule them all. He was the new conductor who had been stirring things up in a big way at the Symphonic Orchestra of Knoxville, a.k.a. the Sook. My conductor. I hadn't recognized his voice because he rarely spoke, and certainly never gently. He yelled, or growled.
The woodwinds need to save some of that hot air for their fortissimo and not for mindless chatter.
Or,
if I wanted to fall asleep, I'd ask for a lullaby, not allegro.
Everybody knew the Devil of the Symphony came to Knoxville after being fired from several of the biggest symphonies around the world. Nobody knew why he chose the Sook, though. My stomach dropped. He'd said he had an offer. What would he want with me? I was a nobody in the back. The other cellists probably didn't even know my name. Christine Day kept herself small and unnoticed for a reason. I hardly made it on anybody's radar, let alone the Devil's. My skin felt weird and hot and tight. The door swung back and broke me from my internal musings. He gently closed the door, separating me from my parents.
Christine Day.
Devlin stood in front of me and all around me, his head tilted to the side. Mastro, I said. I wasn't eavesdropping. His eyebrows shot up. I mean, not intentionally, I clarified.
I've already spoken with your parents, but I wanted to ask you directly.
He said the words while his eyes bored into me. His words were clear, not muffled despite the barrier. The mask only made his focus all the more flustering. There was nowhere else to look. All I could do was stare back into those deep, dark eyes. My eyes were brown, too. Boring brown, like an IKEA side table. They matched my long, brown, stick-straight hair. I was easily forgettable. Tucked away in a corner, most people thought I was a side table. But his eyes were almost black. Where did the pupil end and where did the iris start? And why was I spending so much time thinking about his pupils when he had clearly just said something? What? I smiled. It was a nervous, knee-jerk reaction. It usually gave me enough time to disarm somebody until I thought of what I needed to say.
My showcase. I need a cellist to help me work through some issues with my newest composition, Smoky Mountain Suite.
A cellist?
Yes,
he said flatly. I wanted to ask, what about Carla? The first chair cellist would love that. I was nobody. I was fourth chair. Literally, by rights, I was the fourth most qualified person to help him. But my words got stuck. The longer I